40 this morning. Amen. That wants to sing hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This great snow out here, that's enough to make you feel cold. Open up the windows this morning and pulled back the blinds, and sun was shining awful pretty. Sure made you feel a little cool, though. Makes you want to praise the Lord, though. Isn't he a great God? Man, his power and wonders are so wonderful, so good. And what he's planned for you and I to be able to have in this life, he deserves all of our glory and all of our praise and all of our honor. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And then in 2 Samuel, turn there as well with me this morning, chapter 17. 2 Samuel chapter 17. And verse number 16. Amen. Again, the Bible is a great place to bring the church. Great thing to bring the church in a great place. 2 Samuel 17 and verse 16. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. Amen. Lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness. You can be seated this morning. Brother Suits was preaching here during revival. And one night a little thought came to me and I jotted it down. And I like to try to preach to us this morning. Seems like that in a lot of ways that the devil certainly is working awfully hard. I know we say sometimes he's working overtime. I think he's always been working overtime. Whether he knows his time is short, I don't know if he believes that or if he feels as though he's going to win in the end. That may be very true as well. But nonetheless, he is fighting against God's people, and he's fighting against God's church. And there is so much strife within the churches these days, and problems, and a lot of things that are stirred up and stirred down. And it just seems to me like that once a church unites, once a church gets on fire, once a church will begin to work together and put some things behind them, that the Lord would love, amen, for the church to go on for him. He'll have a church in the last days. There's no doubt about that. He will have a church. He's already described to us what the church will be like. But now it's up to the church to really come up a little bit higher. And I felt the presence of the Lord during the revival, and I thank God for it. I thank God for what he's done in some of your hearts and your souls, and I challenge you not to let that go by, but to keep pushing on with it. Let it just keep burning higher and higher. And so I want to preach this morning on it's time to soar. Amen. The church has seen the glory of God in the days gone by, but I think it's time for the church, amen, to mount up with wings as eagle one more time and begin to soar. That's my title this morning. It's time to soar. We notice in 2 Samuel, the 17th chapter, that David here was warned by the people. There had been a message that was delivered. David and his men were running from Absalom at this time, and Absalom had a desire to kill his father and to get the kingdom all to himself. And they were chasing, and David was hiding here in the wilderness, here in the plains of the wilderness, it's called. And And the word got out, and it was told to Absalom where they were at, and they made plans to come. And someone in the camp there that still had some ties with David and his men got word back to David, you need to move on. You don't want to lodge tonight in the plains of the wilderness. And that really is how that you and I find ourselves in this world today, lodging in the wilderness. And just as David was warned about staying there that night, I believe there's a great warning that comes to the church in this last hour, as it's been mentioned to us this morning, that you better not be lodging in this wilderness. Amen. There's danger in the wilderness. Now, I was last night doing a little searching there on the web, and I come across something that I'd heard probably 20 years ago, and we used to have a cassette tape of it, and there was a man that had preached on used eagles in his message, preaching on I think they call it the eagle message. Actually, it's a two-part message, and in the first part he talks about eagles and their grandeur and how that there is a comparison somewhat to an eagle and to a human, and there's a lot of great things that tells us that he tells us about the eagle and their traits and characteristics. But in the second part of it, he begins to tell the story of how that while preaching a revival, there was an Indian that had came to the revival and had heard his message on eagles, and after the service was over, came up to him and spoke to him and said, "Listen," said, I've never heard a white man that knows as much about eagles as you seem to know about them. I want to show you something." So the next morning they get in a car and they go into a canyon area, and the Indian tells him that down below he wants to take him and show him something that he's probably never seen before. And so they're in this Jeep and they make it down the side of this canyon, and when they get down they have to walk another mile and a half, 2 miles back into this wilderness area. And when they get in there, they're sitting down on the ground is five, I believe it is five or eight, I don't remember for sure, but five, I think it is, eagles that are just sitting there on the ground in the middle of that wilderness, in the middle of that canyon. He began to talk to this preacher, this Indian did, about what's going on. And at times there would be an eagle, if not careful, will get discouraged and will become depressed, and they will come and they'll get down in this wilderness area, and he says if you'll look close enough you'll see that there's calcium deposits that get on their beaks, and then their feet will begin to swell up and crack, and eventually they'll just simply bust, and their heads are hanging down, and there looks like they're just near death, which they really are. And he said, "It's really an amazing thing," said, "I have buried 27 eagles." He had a little spot over there where he'd put stakes where he'd buried these eagles that had died. And in this case here sat five, and all of them looking terrible. And at a certain time there of the day, he pulled the preacher aside. They went and hid, and wasn't too long, and here come eight other eagles flying over. And those eight eagles come flying, and they had fresh meat within their claws, and they dropped it down to those eagles, and then they landed around them, and they encircled them. And he said it was an amazing experience as to what he was watching, and those eight eagles there began to scream, and they got loud, and they jumped and hopped around, and they were trying to get those five that were sitting there in this wilderness. They were trying to get them to eat and to take up this food and nourishment. And if they don't, they'll end up dying there while they're in the wilderness. But if they'll eat and get strength. And so as they were watching and those eagles were trying to get those five to eat, two of them began to go to the food, and that Indian started getting happy and excited, and And he was just telling the story that finally two of those eagles took up the food and they ate and began to get stronger. And every day those eagles would fly over and bring them more food. And there they'd eat some more. And finally two of them made their way up the side. And finally he said that each eagle has a rock. And once they make that rock their home, they'll never change rocks. They always go to that rock. And so they'll make their way back to that rock. And so finally two of them made it up. Three of them he buried back, making 30 now that he had buried of those eagles. And it was just something that really got the attention of this preacher, because he began to think and correlate how that there are so many people that are just like that. They get down in the wilderness. They begin to lodge in the wilderness. And the next thing you know it, amen, what God made them to be and what God put in their heart and their life, what God wanted them to do, they just can't do it anymore. And they find themselves lodging and then finally dying while they're there in the wilderness. That is a sad place to be for any Christian. Amen. When you get to lodging in the wilderness as a Christian, brother, you are on your way very, very shortly, amen, on your way out the door of what God has in store for your heart and in your life. Amen. Those eagles, amen, as they would be encouraged, as they would be challenged, amen, those that would pick up, and then those who would finally fly off. One of them had been down there about 5 weeks before that. And this Indian, he took this preacher back up on top, and he said, "I want to show you." And he had the name. He gave an eagle a name, and he said, "I want to show you one who had been down in the wilderness." And they went up, and he got out a telescope, and he began to show him. Amen. And they looked at that eagle, and that eagle was sitting there with his head straight up towards heaven, and tears was pouring down the cheeks of that eagle. Amen. And that Indian got all excited, and all of a sudden said he just jumped off of that thing, let out a big old scream, and went flying in the air. And that Indian was just sure, amen, he'd been thinking about how he'd finally got up out of the wilderness. Well, I don't know if that's what's going through his mind or not, but I know this morning, when you and I make our decision to get up out of the wilderness, when we make that choice, amen, to once again rise again and soar again, you can't help but get excited, amen, and thankful, because you know what it was like while you were down there in that wilderness. There's the wilderness of carnality. Amen. Carnality will kill your spiritual walk with God. Amen. Carnality. When you begin to think more about carnal things than you do spiritual things. When your goal is to do more things for the carnal, for the man, as opposed to fulfill the will of God. Amen. When your mind is more on the things of this world, the things of this life, satisfying yourself instead of doing the work of God, being a servant for the Lord. Amen. You're in the wilderness of carnality. Amen. Principles that you have established, thank God for them. Amen. No matter what you go through, no matter what you do, no matter what you face, you stand on those principles. Amen. Right or wrong, you stand on those principles. You need to have something that you are rooted and grounded in this morning. Amen. Because the wilderness of carnality isn't all that far away. Amen. There's a pool there. The bright lights are shining over there. Everything has a draw to it. And you'll get over in there and you'll get busy. And you forget about praying. You'll forget about church. You'll forget about the things, amen, of reading your Bible. You'll forget. And the next thing you know it, you are lodging right there in the wilderness of carnality. And if you don't think it'll happen, go to Lot and ask him, amen, if it'll happen. He got to looking towards those well-watered plains. And it was wasn't long till he was right in the midst of the town. And even some said he was the mayor, come become the mayor of that little burg. Brother and sister, hey man, if you're not careful, the draw will be so strong that you'll find yourself lodging, hey man, with a carnal mind, with carnal thoughts, hey man, and not willing to do the will of God. There's the wilderness of discouragement and troubles. Amen. This is a troubling time. Seems like the church is facing oppression from every angle. Amen. I've never seen so many people that are being torn up by stress. Amen. Discouragement. I don't know if I can go any longer. I don't know if they'll ever get saved. I don't know if anything's ever going to ever happen again. I don't know if we can ever have revival. Amen. Thoughts that go through our hearts and minds. And we begin to doubt. And we doubt and we doubt and we doubt. And we find ourselves. Amen. Instead of looking up. Amen. We're now looking down. Instead of having hearts that are lifted up. Amen. We find them lifted down. There's something about discouragement. Amen. And it's a hard press at times to make it through, but you've got to. Amen. If you don't, you'll find yourself staying right there in the wilderness of discouragement. Depression. Amen. Depression, when it first begins to hit in a man's or a woman's heart or mind, amen, you've got to press harder than you've ever pressed before. If you stop right there and let it settle in, you will sink and sink and sink, amen, right on in to that state of depression. But if you'll fight it hard at the beginning, amen, and begin to lift yourself up before God and pray and hold on to God, you've got a much better chance of not sinking, but instead you'll come up out of there, amen, because you don't want to get in the wilderness of discouragement this morning. Amen. I know things look rough. I know the economic picture is not very good. Amen. The political scene doesn't look too well either. But brother and sister, amen, we're not hinging upon man. Our decisions are not based on this world delivering for us. We're, amen, holding on to a God who has it all in control. And if we'll keep our mind on him, amen, we'll have peace and perfect peace. And God will bring us through. Amen. There's a wilderness of defeat. Seems like maybe they tend to go hand in hand, but people that are always defeated in this life, Christians, church going folks, but they always seem like they're defeated. Amen. That ought not be. That shouldn't be if you're serving the same God I'm serving. Amen. The Lord come through this week for us. Amen. He sure did. He does it all the time. Amen. I may not have much, but I got the Lord. Come on now. Amen. You may not have much, but you got Jesus. You've got the Lord. You've got God. Amen. He has everything that you need, and he can meet your need according to his riches in glory. Amen. You're serving a great big God. There is no place and no reason to stay in the wilderness of being defeated. Amen. Yeah, everybody, amen, if you'll try hard enough and work together good enough, sooner or later, you're going to win. Amen. One of the boys at school the other day was, I was sitting in the gym class actually taking care of one of the classes, and this boy plays basketball, and they were changing some of the names up on the score, whatever you call that, this, up there, you know, with the time and the score and the names they put for fouls and stuff. And so I asked him, he had a game here, and he said, no. Well, he said, we do Saturday night, and, well, we play West Frankfort there. They're 0-18 or something like that, so surely we can beat them. And I thought, there's the recipe to get beat. when you think because they're 0-18 that you're going to beat them. Right? I'll tell you what the recipe, we were 3-0 one time in football. We thought we're something. That's the recipe to get beat to. Amen. Because we did 4 in a row. You know how that works. Amen. You think, but listen, when we're serving a great big God, amen, who owns the cattle, as they say, on 1,000 hills, and then someone come along later and said, and all everything that's underneath it, well, thank God, the earth is his. Amen. All of the fullness thereof is his. Everything is God. And if you are a child of his, amen, there is no reason for you to stay defeated all the time. No reason for it, except you want to be there. Amen. You want to be there. You're liking it. You've been there so long. You'd feel uncomfortable if you ever had a victory in God. If you ever shouted again, you'd feel uncomfortable. Oh, come on here. Amen. If you ever shed some tears under the anointing and the presence of God, you'd feel uncomfortable. That's not the way it should be if you're a child of his. Amen. There's victory for you and I. He overcame so that you and I could be overcomers. Amen. I challenge you to get in the altar. I challenge you to pray. Quit, amen, complaining about everything around you and get your mind on a great big God. Well, it's not that easy, Pastor. Why don't you try it and find out? You don't have to stay defeated, but you can have victory. Amen. Get out of the wilderness of defeat. It's a dangerous place. You'll die there. You'll die there. Amen. Isaiah 40 and 30 said, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men surely fall. Right? Every one of us is going to face troubles. All of us are going to face hardships. Everybody's going to face trials. And Brother Eric quoted the verse that said in the last days that there are going to be a lot of hearts that are going to fall away. There's going to be a lot of hearts that wax cold. We know that's part of it. But brother and sister, I'm not interested in fulfilling that, are you? Are you interested in fulfilling that? If you've been serving the Lord for a day, you've been serving him too long to turn back. Amen. If you've been serving him 50 years, you've got a long way, my friend. Amen. In your walk with God. Why turn back now? Get up out of defeat. Make your way to an altar of prayer. Amen. And say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've been living in that wilderness. Amen. I want to come up out of there. Amen. That's where I'd like for you to admit in your heart this morning, it is time to soar. Amen. It's time to soar. Again for me. I'm not staying down. Amen. They may fall. They may get weary. And they may faint. But I am going to mount up. Amen. With wings as eagles this morning. Amen. And I'm going to soar above all of my troubles once again. Amen. In Isaiah 40 and 31, he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings again, as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Amen. I thought about some of the things that happen in our hearts and lives, and they keep us from soaring. One of those is our past sins. Amen. Our past sins. If we're not careful, we allow our past to keep us from soaring high with the Lord. Well, I'll never be able to do that because of what I've done in the past. What you need to do is let God take care of your past and you live for him in the future. Amen. What I've done, let God take care of and you live for the Lord. There was a man by the name of Samson. Everybody here this morning has heard of him and read of him. In the 16th chapter of Judges, in the 4th verse, it came to pass that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Hey, amen. That was probably his first mistake. Amen. He began to love somebody who wasn't a Christian. He began to love somebody who didn't love his same God. And next thing you know it, all of those Philistines find out about it. They start telling her, and in fact, they bribe her, say, we're going to give you whole bunches of this and whole bunches of that if you find out what is his strength. What's the secret of his strength? So she starts. And she starts asking him and questioning him, and he tells her that there's seven green. He said, if you'll take seven green whiffs that's never been dried. And boy, tie me up, said I'll be like any other man. And well, the Philistines come in on him, and he just broke him through. And obviously, he wasn't like any other man. The same for bind me fast with new ropes. The third one, weave the seven locks of my head into a web. And each time the Philistines would come in, and he would break free, and she would just, oh, you're mocking me. And she was trying to play that little manipulation card. Oh, you're mocking me. Why, if you don't really love me, and blah, blah, blah. And she didn't really love him, and that was something he needed to wake up to, but he didn't. Amen. And so daily she pressed him, and she tried to get him to do something, tried to get him to tell her daily. Finally, he gave in, and he began to tell her that he was a Nazarite unto God from his mother's womb. He had never been shaven, and if he ever was, his strength would be taken. She felt like he had told her his heart, and she called him in. They shaved his head and called the Philistines in, and they all came in. And the sad part of this story was in the 28th verse. He said here, amen, he said, not 20th, but 20th verse, he awoke out of his sleep. And he said, I'll go out as at other times, shake myself. But he said he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Amen. Past sins, if you allow yourself to be relegated in your past sins, Samson found himself, amen, now his strength was gone. He found himself with his eyes being removed, and he was blind. He had been relegated down in a pit, put behind as an auction and grinding, amen, round and around and around, being whipped, amen, bald, being made fun of, amen, all of his sin, that's where it got him. It got him in trouble, amen, his playing around got him in trouble, and he found himself, he could have just said, well, God will never hear me again, God will never forgive me. God will never use me anymore. Amen. He could have went that direction, but he didn't. Amen. The Bible tells us, amen, that one day the chance came. They brought him up. All these Philistines were gathered. Amen. They were going to make sport of him, laugh at him, mock him, spit on him, all kinds of things. But he began to cry out, oh Lord, if you just hear me again, strengthen me, I pray. Hear me this once. I might avenge all of those Philistines for my two eyes. Amen. They stood him up. You know the story, a pillar here and a pillar there. He got his arms in between, and then he began to push with all of his might. And before it was all said and done, those pillars came undone, and the house began to fall. And he slew more Philistines that day than he had slew, amen, in all of the other times. Amen. You don't have to dwell on your past sins. You can soar above them. Amen. You can come up higher. Hebrews 11 and 32 tell us in that great wall of faith, that walk of faith, that chapter of faith, amen, that Samson was found among them. Amen. You may make mistakes, but you don't have to stay there. You can soar above them, amen, and go on and do something for God. Amen. But the Bible has many of those. Amen. David found himself in sin, but he prayed, amen, and God heard his prayer. Amen. In the New Testament, we got Paul, whose name was Saul, who had done terrible things, amen, but God, amen, got a hold of his life. He put it aside, amen, he never forgot, but he kept on pushing on and doing a work for God. Your past sins, is not a reason to soar again. Amen. You give them to God. Ask for forgiveness and mercy. And God is more than ready to forgive you of your sin. Amen. But not just past sins. We have as well past failures. Past failures. A lot of times we look at our lives and we look at the failures that we have done. And we say, well, I'll never be able to do anything for God again. I'll just never be able to. And I don't know, I've not met too many people yet that have never felt like they failed God in some time or another. God's mercy had been placed on their life. They heard a call for salvation. They gave their heart. He was good to them. He loved them. And somewhere along the line, they got messed up. They got pulled away by temptation. They found themselves failing the one who loved them the most. And it's a hard thing to have to try to repair, to fix, to get back up and do what God has called you to do. Amen. Amen. Many people just give up at that point. And so I'll never be able to do anything for God anymore. Amen. But that is not a reason to not go on for God. Past failures, you're going to fail God. Every one of us are going to fail God. And brother Bill, it's not a, you know, it's not a value thing here. Well, that's worth 3 points, that failure. This is worth 10 points over here. Anytime we fail God, the one who saved us, who forgave us, who has loved us when nobody else would really love us. Amen. Anytime we fail God, there's a heartache there, and maybe some things seem to be worse, But failure is not a reason not to soar. It's not a reason to continue with revival. It's not a reason to allow God to continue working in your life. Amen. The Bible tells in the book of Acts, it's in the 15th chapter, said some days after Paul said to Barnabas, let us go again, visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them as Paul and Barnabas that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. Amen. Mark here had, and we don't know all of the details of it, but he had been working with them. There's a point, but there was a place where Mark left. A place or a time when Mark kind of became unloyal and left them. And the work of God, I don't know how much that it accounted for Mark and what Mark's job was, what he did, and where it left him when he walked out on them, but it was enough that Paul felt like that he just wasn't quite ready to be a part, to do what they were going to do. He probably really didn't want him along at this point. And Mark felt like that he had failed Paul, and he had failed Barnabas, and he probably felt like he had failed God too. Amen. There's times when we're just not quite ready, we get in too deep, and somebody says, hey, you know, you need to back off a little bit. I had a conversation with a young man not too long ago, and I said, I don't think you're quite ready. They don't always agree with that, but you do your best to make the best choice. You give them the reason, and they have to go from that. Amen. There are times when we'll get into a place and it becomes too big, too heavy, too heated, too fast, and we're just not ready, and we want to run and hide. We run, we hide, we run from responsibility, we run from the problem, and next thing you know it, amen, we're counted as failures. Our name has been marked as one that's not loyal, one that can't go through it, one that's not strong, amen. And failure, but that was not a reason for Mark to quit. Mark didn't quit. In fact, in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, Paul was writing here to Timothy and getting near the end of his life. He was having, he was in prison and they were bringing things to him and he was trying to get some things wrote down and it was cold. He had him to bring his coats and he had to bring his parchment, his books. And then he says here, only Luke is with me. And then he writes, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. There was a point where he wasn't ready. Amen. And Paul said it. And Mark maybe felt as a failure. But there came a time he stayed with it. He kept working. And he kept preaching. He kept helping. He was a servant. He stayed right in there. And the time came. Amen. When Paul said he's going to be profitable, bring him along. Amen. Those past failures are not a reason not to get victory with God. You need to soar with the Lord. Just ask Peter. He failed God. He failed Christ. Amen. Denied him. But then after 3 moments, amen, of questions, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me? Amen. Peter became, amen, one of those men that led many people. He wrote a great book. Amen. And gave us great words. Amen. Peter knows what it was like to be a failure, but he got back up and he soared again. Your past failure is not a reason not to soar. Amen. Paul wrote in Philippians, I'm closing, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before, I press towards what? The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I haven't done everything right. He admits that. I was the chiefest of sinners. He'll admit that. Amen. But now here he is. He realizes that he maybe hasn't apprehended, done everything, wanted to accomplish everything that he could. But he said, one thing I'm going to do, forget those things which are behind, past sins, amen, past failures, and I am going to go on, reach for the things which are before me, the prize, the mark of the prize of the high calling. That's not going to stop me from soaring. I'm going to go on and I'm going to get up above all of these past failures and sins and I'm going to soar for God. Amen. There's victory to be had and there's a church world that needs to know it. You can have victory. Amen. You can soar for God one more time. You can do it. Peter, not only did Paul tell us it's time to soar, 1 Peter chapter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can't you just see here a failure? Peter had failed God. Amen. He felt miserable. He left crying, tears in his eyes. But there came a point where Jesus said, come on, Peter. Amen. I've rose again. You make sure Peter knows it. Amen. Tell him now, John. Tell Peter. Make sure Peter knows it. I've come back. Amen. Later he meets with him and talks with him again. Do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, I love you. Well, whenever you're converted, you need to strengthen the brethren. And that's what we find Peter doing. Come on, he says. Amen. Don't lay down in your past failure. Don't lay down in your past sin. I've been there, he said. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there, he said. And rather, he said, why don't you greatly rejoice? Amen. Even though you're going through troubles, greatly rejoice. Even though you've got a lot of temptation and heartaches in the trial of your faith, go ahead, he said, amen, and rejoice and let God, amen, through your praise get glory and honor. Amen.
I'm telling you, it's time to soar. That's what Peter says this morning. And I believe that's what the Lord's trying to tell our church. Amen. Don't allow yourself, amen, to stay down in the wilderness of defeat, in the wilderness of carnality. Amen. In the wilderness, brother and sister, that'll get you down in discouragement. But get back on your feet. Let revival stay in your soul and soar again. Amen. Mount up with the wings as eagle and fly high. Amen. And let this world know, amen, that I am a child of the King and I'm going to live for God. Amen. Boy, it ain't much nothing more prettier than seeing a big old eagle with his wings spread soaring through the sky. Can't think of nothing hardly much more majestic than a big old pretty eagle. And brother and sister, there's nothing better than a Christian, amen, who is smiling, who's got joy and peace and happiness, contentment. Amen. They're flying high. Amen. Sin, troubles, trials, temptations, problems. Amen. But I've got my wings spread and I'm a soaring. How about it this morning? Aren't you ready to soar? Amen. Are you tired of being in the wilderness? Why don't you get up this morning? Hey, make your way to an altar and soar. Amen. Above it all today. Would you do it? Stand with me this morning. Altar is open. Come and pray. Amen. Come and pray. If you feel like you're in a wilderness, come and pray. If you're not flying as high as you want to, come and pray. If you're not soaring like you need to be soaring, come in. It's open. Come on, church. That was your altar call. Come on in. Amen. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord this morning. It's time to soar. Amen. There's no time to be in a wilderness now. Jesus is coming. You got souls to win. You got a work to do for God. Amen. You need to serve the Lord while you can. Don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Don't look at all your problems and troubles and trials and stay in your little world of defeat. Amen. I'm not trying to belittle it, but I want you to think, amen, you're a child of the King. Amen. And you can soar this morning no matter what you're going through. Amen. You can see the victory that God has no matter what you're facing. You this morning can soar high for God.
Many are the miles that I've traveled, and the journey sure got rough at times. The valleys were deep, the mountains were steep, although weary, still on I climb. Now I've had a few things to try me, but why worry? It's just a matter of time. From the top of the mountain that I just climbed, I saw the lights on the edge of the shoreline. Don't give up, never give in. There ain't no way a loser can win. Keep your eyes on the prize, for soon this old journey will end. And the troubles that now surround you, they will pass in a matter of time. From the top of the mountain that I just climbed, I saw the lights on the edge of the shoreline.